of walking by sight. And we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 through 27. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all 27 verses. But we're going to stand in honor reading the word of the Lord this morning. And you follow along if your Bibles are open. And if not, look behind me on the board. It is there. Now, when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the great sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I always like to throw in here the Budlites, they came together to make war against Joshua and what? Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. And the men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dried and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." And the men of Israel said to the Hittites, "But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you?" Father, once again, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the testimonies that we have heard. We thank you for the reality of our faith, hitting where the rubber meets the road. Lord, this is not a cakewalk for sure, but it is a faith walk. And we just ask you to continue to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying this day to this church at this time. And we're going to be grateful for what you're going to do. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've been going through the book of Joshua over the last couple months. And I've been talking to you about each chapter and what each chapter means. We looked at first chapter 1. We looked at the spirit of courage. Chapter 2, we look at the legacy of Rahab. Chapter 3, we looked at the crossing over the Jordan. Chapter 4, we looked at the ministry at Gilgal. Chapter 5, we talked about the captain of the hosts of the Lord. Chapter 6, we looked at Jericho's walls, how they came down. Last week, the week before, we look at the defeat of Ai. And then this week, Lord willing, I get as far as I can, we're going to be looking at the dangers of walking by sight. The dangers of walking by sight. Remember what our theme is in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. How many of you want to keep a marching forward in your Christian life? Are you one here today? How many of you want to live a victorious life over the world, the flesh, and the devil? Right? Amen? We want to. How many of you want not one thing to hinder you from getting and growing in the Lord? Amen? I want that. I don't want nothing to hinder me. And lastly, how many of you want to walk by faith and not by sight? And that's probably one of the hardest things that we as believers in Christ are going to deal with in our Christian faith. The Apostle Paul declares a truth to us and to all Christians who are serving the Lord. That in 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says this, "For we walk by faith and not sight." For we walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by faith is to walk in a spirit of prayerful dependency upon the Lord and his guidance. That's the faith that we walk in. That's the faith that we need to depend upon. That's the faith that we need within our life. Even James chapter 1, verse 5 says and encourages us, if you lack any wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask of God. If you're going to live this life of faith and you're going to walk this life of faith, if you need wisdom, you need to ask God. God never expects you to do it alone. He never expects you to do it on your own. He wants you to depend upon him each day and every day of your life. I want to encourage you to seek God's wisdom. I want to encourage you to seek his direction and his guidance in everything that goes on in your life and seek him no matter what the issues are. We see also later in the epistle of James that James encourages and tells the Christians, don't presume anything that you have no direction from the Lord. Don't say that you're going to do this or that or go here or go there. Because in James chapter 4, it tells us that we need to seek God on behalf. If the Lord wants us to go there, if he wants us to do this, if he wants us to be this. And it's very important that we never take the Lord in a very presumptuous way. And sometimes that's our fault when we walk by sight and not walk by faith. The situation may say, oh, this looks good. This is what God wants to do. But you don't know what God wants to do if you don't involve him in what he wants to do in your life. Man does not have the wisdom or the ability, nor often the will to direct his own ways. And you need to know that. A man or woman does not have the wisdom or the ability to direct their own ways. Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 tells us that. It says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man and a woman, but the end thereof is destruction, is death. So sometimes our ways and what we think and what we want, we think the Lord wants, that's not his ways. And the end of it is always destruction and death. But there's a reason why destruction and death comes. Because we don't involve God in the process. We don't ask the Lord to be involved. We go ahead, we make the decisions, whatever the outcome may be, we end up asking God's blessing on it after the fact, where in all reality, he wants to give you the blessing before it even takes place. So church, if I'm going to share with you today about the dangers of walking by faith, I need to touch on these areas, because none of us are exempt from that. We have to commit our ways unto the Lord. We have to commit our objectives unto the Lord. We have to commit our pursuits and our responsibilities to the Lord for his wisdom and his enablement. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 4 and verse 9. There's a danger in this, and we need to be careful that we don't do something that God doesn't want us to do or what he wants us to be involved in. There's a danger. Again, I say it again. I know some of you might be saying, Pastor John, you don't know what I'm going through. I can't handle it. It's more difficult than I ever want to ever do. But yet, through that difficulty, God is going to reveal himself for you, and he's going to give you the wisdom that you need in the midst of that. So it's not that you can't handle it. It's not the fact that you can't do it. It's the fact is, have you allowed God in, who then will handle your situation and will be involved in it and bring a change in your life? See, in chapter 9, and I'm somewhat cautious, because we see in chapter 9 a scenario starting to develop, and it's a habit-forming scenario. You'll get it when I start talking about it. It's a habit-forming scenario. It's a word of caution. Joshua in chapter 9 never went to God to make this treaty with the Gibeonites. He never went to God when they were to attack Ai. They looked at the situation. They said, they only have 3,000 men. We have well over 100,000 men. Let's send maybe 1% of our men, 12,000 men. Let's send 12,000 men to defeat Ai and the town of Ai, 12 against 3. No brainer. They're outnumbered. We're going to win. But yet they didn't go to God and say, God, what would you want us to do? And they were defeated. They finally went to God, and God told them why they were defeated. And if they went to God first, they would have found out and made things right. There was sin in the camp. They would have made things right in Ai, which then would have gave them the ability and the power not to face defeat at all, but to get their life right with the Lord and then to march on into victory. Here we see in chapter 9 again, something happening. A repeat of something they didn't do in the past. And that's what the repeat was. They didn't go to God. Joshua said he looked at the circumstance. He looked at the situation. Here are these people. They traveled long. The donkeys are tired. We see that they have moldy bread. They have sacks that are worn out. They have clothes that have holes in them. Now, today we can't say that because today people wear, they buy pants with holes in them. I don't get it. I don't get it. That's your money. That's not mine. Do what you want. But yet, they had holes in their pants. They had holes in their clothes. I'm old. I'm sorry. They have holes in their pants. They have holes in their clothes. And their appearance made them like they traveled a long distance. They came with a deceptive attitude. They came to deceive. They made it possible in everything they did to make the situation look like they were on a long traveling journey. And Joshua looked at the evidence. He looked at the evidence. And you know what, church? If God is not involved when we look, we are not going to be able to discern spiritually what the situation is. We are not able to discern spiritually what God is trying to tell us. And Joshua looked at the situation. He looked at their clothes, and Joshua didn't have the discernment of the Lord. He had the discernment of the humanity, of carnality, and he goes, what they must be saying matches up with what they are. So Joshua says he didn't have a problem making a treaty with them, but that was dangerous because Joshua did something that he failed to do in the chapter before. He never went to the Lord. He never went to the Lord. That's that presumptuousness. That's the warning, the danger of walking by sight. You presume. I like to use the word assume. Some of you know the definition of that word assume. For virgin ears, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But nonetheless, people assume things that are not so. You need the Lord's discernment. You need the Lord's discernment. I know as people leave the church sometimes, they start telling me about everything they're going through and they want me to give them the answer as they're going out the door and I'm shaking their hand. And I said, no. Give me a call. Let's make an appointment. Let's talk. I can't give you this shoddy answer like this. I can't. As your pastor, I can't presume that I know all the facts to make a proper decision. You are making me fail you if you do that. I'm telling you. You're making me fail you, and I don't want to fail you. We don't. My wife and I, we don't want to fail you. We want to be there for you. We want to give you the facts, what the Word of God says, so you have the right tools you need to make the right decisions. The dangers of walking by sight is this drive-by counseling that takes place that is so quick and sometimes not even to the point because you're looking for an answer, and a lot of times you get the answer you want. Never the answer that you should really get. Joshua was wrong in pursuing. Have you ever presumed that God wanted you to do something without asking him to do it? Has that ever happened in your spiritual life? I'm being honest with you. Think about it. Have you ever done something that you presumed that the Lord wanted you to do, but you never asked God to do it? If you've done that, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. You know it's a disaster. It's a disaster. It just never turns out right. Never turns out right. When you have nowhere else to go to, you should go to him in prayer. Go to him in prayer. If you can't get counsel from somebody, if you can't have time to seek him, seek his word, seek his face, seek him in prayer, if you can't do that, be very careful where you get your counsel from. Because sometimes that counsel may not come in the right way. These are the evidence we see in Scripture over and over again. Here's a truth that I'm going to give to you, is this. The danger of prayerlessness, not committed unto the Lord, and the danger of walking by sight when trying to make decisions should never be based on how things appear, but on the Lord. Sometimes appearance are what? Deceptive. Deceiving. Deceptive. Right now, people are looking for cars. They want to buy cars on the market. They want to buy cars because they need cars. They can get them cheap. But little do they know, those cars were involved in floods and earthquakes and all those things. You're buying a lemon, but people are so gullible today. If it's too good to be true, it's probably not true. Let's face it, right? So you need to do what you need to do. You need to use the sources and the resources that are in hand. As we have seen, Israel failed at Ai. Now, that to a large degree, every decision that's now going to come in the future are going to fall into that pattern because they failed to consult the Lord. And I want to say to you, if you're facing failure, if you're facing things in your life and you're not seeking the Lord and you're making rash decisions, and those decisions are causing destruction in your life, you're setting yourself up for failure. You need to change direction. You need to change your habit. You need to do something different. That's the danger of walking by sight. It's so easy to go back to the way things were. It's so easy to go back to where we are. Little do we know that going forward is only the best way to have success in God. There are many other different things that I can say here, but the failure of the leadership of the nation of Israel, it was just not upon Joshua. Do you know what? It was also upon the leadership of the nation. Reminds us again how vulnerable we can be when we don't pray. When we don't pray, there's something about people praying. I may be your pastor. You have a board. You have leaders in this church. Be praying just not for me. Pray for them. I look to them. I look for counsel from them. What they tell me, I take to heart because I know they have an invested interest into the kingdom of God. If this whole thing laid on me and everything that I did, church, this would fail. This church would fail. It's not only me. There are many others that are involved in the cogs of what's happening here in this place. And sometimes it takes a lot of work to get it going. It takes a lot of work to see success. But yet, if God is involved in each step of the way, the results are way beyond what we can even imagine or think. Can I be honest with you this morning? I know I'm going to be. You know, the problem in trusting in past victories and religious experiences is that we don't go to the Lord because we say, oh, I experienced this before. This is what the outcome will be. No, you haven't. You may have experienced that, but every situation is new. Every circumstance and every problem, every journey you're on is going to be new. God wants to teach you something different. And if we become creatures of habit and we're not willing to change, we're just going to fall right back into that. There are times that we have spiritual victory, spiritual highs, but the important thing is that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And the beautiful thing is this, at those moments in our lives, the judgment from God's word here to them is this. They didn't ask for the counsel from the Lord. They didn't ask the counsel from the Lord. I'm going to ask Christian to come, and Christian's going to lead us in a song. And as he does that, church, I'm going to save the rest for next week. I know we have a Thanksgiving service, and this may not be a Thanksgiving message, but you're going to be thankful for the message. You're going to be thankful for the message.